Auto insurance can all seem the same until it comes time to use it. So don't get stuck paying more for less coverage. Switch to USAA Auto Insurance and you could start saving money in no time. Get a quote today. Restrictions apply.
To the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network, a fine network. It's Wednesday, March 30th. Here we are in the Classic Factory. I'm J.E. Skeets. Alongside me, as always, Tess Mellis.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Tess. Got our Top Shot Hot Boy, Trey Kirby.
Heyo.
Heyo.
The International Man of Mystery, taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friend.
And finally, making the magic happen, over yonder, super producer JD.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Take a second. Hit that little like button. Make sure you subscribed. Share the show. Comment away. Send in your questions. Email them into nodunks@theathletic.com. We're hitting the beach today, baby. Some great cues. So what about the AFL?
What?
Yeah, we're talking a little Aussie.
Wow. Oh, great.
Yeah, so send those in to nodunks@theathletic.com. Get yourself a new Mr. Temper Boy t-shirt. Maybe you got someone in your life that you like to argue about breakfast or showering with. Go get a t-shirt. Nodunks.com. Get all our No Dunks merch over there. This one available on white, on black, on a hoodie. Nice. And I really like this because it's Mr. Temper Boy. There are youth sizes available, right? So go take advantage of that. Yesterday, Trey, Graydon, and a guest, Hazel Southwell, dropped a new No Breaks episode. This, I just want to remind you, has its own YouTube feed. I see people subscribing. Shout out to everybody subscribing to No Breaks. And now it's got its own podcast feed. So seek out No Breaks. That's B-R-A-K-E-S, okay? Not the break room okay?
Ooh. No Breaks, B-R-E-A-K-S, our new Severance podcast that we're going to be starting.
Ooh, all right. You're
people
all caught up,
hear
right?
all about what's okay. going on in the break room.
I love that show.
Yeah, it's good.
It's crazy,
good. It's the new Lost for me. But, like, this time I'm not getting involved in any of the mysteries.
Same.
Just along
just
for the
enjoy
ride.
It.
Just along
it.
For the ride.
Except we have to do a podcast on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, well, we're starting a brand new podcast.
And speaking of podcasts... under the No Dunks umbrella, No Buffs, our Survivor podcast, goes live tomorrow afternoon around 3 p.m. Eastern. Our guy, Wendell Holland, is going to be joining us as our special guest to recap tonight's episode of Survivor, which, Tess, I know you're pumped for.
Just I am pumped for
probably No Buffs and Survivor.
Yeah, Wendell for sure.
Yeah, of course.
definitely looking forward to Wendell. And this season, it always starts slow. Who are these characters? Let's get to know them a little
bit. It's a good
time
to get
in. Yeah, it's picking up.
Yeah, for sure. So that's No Buffs, and just like No Breaks, it's got its own YouTube and podcast feed. Okay, let's get into the NBA action from last night. Only five games on, but I feel like there's a ton to talk about. Let's start with Giannis. 40 points, ho-hum, the late block to lead the Bucks past the 76ers. TK, take it away.
This was a real game of basketball. In fact, I've got a new term for this kind of a game of basketball. When a game that should be on national TV is league pass only, it's sicko's delight.
I love it. Yeah.
You got to have it. You got to be ready to jump on this sort of a game because, man, what an incredible game this was. The MVP battle has to go to Giannis based after last night. Like you said, Skeets, 40 points. Had 15 straight between the third and fourth quarter. Basically, when Joel Embiid subbed out, threw in 14 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal, 3 blocks, including that incredible game saver, which was eerily reminiscent of the block on DeAndre Ayton. Harden takes a step back three, and Embiid grabs the rebound. Giannis, from the other side of the lane, gets to it way before it was to the glass.
Yeah.
I was like, how in the world is this called a goaltending? To the point where Giannis had to go from finger wag to finger swirl. Like, he went from wagging for no to yes, let's take a look. It was probably just the refs calling it a goal.
So we could look at it.
It actually helped out the Bucks.
No, definitely, no doubt about it. But nonetheless, it should have just been called a block away because that was an incredible block. Giannis definitely did get the best of Embiid on that play and over the course of the game. 29 points, 14 rebounds, 7 assists for Joel Embiid. But he also had to deal with Brook Lopez, who is incredibly strong. Like, I think we kind of forget about that with Brook Lopez since he's become Splash Mountain. But the mountain part of it is serious, yeah, man. Yeah. This guy can take bumps from Joel Embiid, which is pretty impressive. And then obviously there's the help defense over the top as well. But if we were playing, it's just one game, but I would be making a tiny, tiny MVP case for Jrue Holiday, who I thought was awesome, especially in the fourth quarter of this one. 10 points, one assist in the fourth quarter. It was an alley-oop to Giannis, the assist, which was very cool. And then he hit a three, like the next possession down. He was fired up. Finished with 18 and 10 for the game. Just a bunch of clutch plays. He had the jumpers, he had the alley-oop, and he was guarding everybody. Like, they let him guard Tyrese Maxey for a little bit, kind of chill. Maxey, 0 points in the fourth quarter. He was on James Harden for a little bit when it really came down to it. Harden, 3 points in the fourth quarter. And there were even times when Jrue Holiday would catch Embiid on switches. Like, there was one with about 2 minutes left, and Embiid catches the ball right around the free throw line. He could not move Jrue Holiday. Nah. Like, he was trying to back him down and get maybe free throws, maybe get a layup or something like that. Could not push him off the spot, though, so... Awesome win for the Bucks. Awesome game with the lead going back and forth all the time in the fourth quarter. And now Milwaukee, second in the East by half a game. This was a major statement game for the Bucks, for Giannis. A true sicko's delight.
It really was. It's amazing that this wasn't on national television, especially with the game that was on national TV. And the we'll get to it, but the Mavs embarrassing the Lakers in 20 minutes or so. But
yeah, and for the Sixers, they couldn't really have played much better for most of this game.
I thought Harden was great for a good chunk of it. Yeah.
That shot that led to the block was a clunker. An absolute clunker. Missed it by a mile. Yeah. And he got what he wanted, so he missed it. But honestly, watching Giannis like this is an absolute delight, because his bag is that... What's that meme of the Rock with that gigantic bag?
He does have a huge bag.
Yeah, that was Giannis last night, because also, not only on the block shot, he had that step-in mid-ranger that he just walked into. He had the Hakeem Olajuwon baseline faders at both ends of the court. And then the bully ball. I mean, Paul, no one can stop him, but Millsap out there, it's like... Okay.
It's honestly mean.
And then, you know, James Harden, we know, is not a bad post defender physically like that. But Giannis can just like, okay, if you push back, I'm just going to go to another level where you can't go. And guys are there, and he sort of like hops around guys, and then he can just drop it in the basket because there's no one there to contest that shot. He was just an absolute monster last night. That play at the end of the third quarter where they didn't really have time to get a shot off, and he just like hop, skipped, and jumped his way down. I actually think that was a double dribble. I don't think you can push the ball out like that. Anyway, doesn't matter, because everyone was just mesmerized. The Sixers broadcast team were also just like, oh, Giannis, big play. Like, because it's like, there isn't a way to stop him like this. And so if you're Philadelphia...
The way it used to be, at least foul him, put him in line.
Exactly.
You really can't even do that anymore.
No, I mean, what
he steps with confidence. There 7-10 last night.
Yeah, 7-10,
you're going to live with that any day of the night.
But he is just a beast. And he really did separate himself from Embiid, certainly, last night, the MVP. Yeah. Like, Embiid was good. He's been fantastic all season. But Giannis is doing things that nobody else can do. So this was a very, very fun game to watch. An impressive, dominant victory in the end, even though it was only 2 points. I say dominant because it's like, if you're Philadelphia, you're like, how are we going to beat these guys four times?
Play Embiid more. I think that's what Joel Embiid would say. Because the end of the third quarter and the beginning of the fourth, he was on the bench.
Yep.
That's when the Bucks made their run.
Right.
And he said it post-game. Yeah, he said, he was asked, what's the strategy? How do you beat these guys? Well, maybe match up our minutes there, Doc. I mean, he called out Coach Doc. He said, match up our minutes, because it's a weird thing that they've got going on in Philadelphia. Harden and Embiid sit together every half for a few minutes. It worked fine in the first half, but in the second half, it's odd just not to stagger them. So, yeah, Trey said he went for 15 straight. Yeah, Embiid was asked, what was the difference in this game? Well, I don't know. He went for like 17 straight or whatever it was. And I think it was exactly 17.
Yeah, I thought it was too.
Yeah, I don't know how Embiid knew that. Like, he knew exactly how many points. He's sitting there counting. I mean, yeah, it was a show, obviously. Giannis went on that run, but... There aren't too many dudes that can just get in his way. And Embiid, he was doing a pretty good job. But I know the Bucks have sort of been... They're champs. They can chill a little bit until the postseason. And Giannis is... You could see, that 2 minutes left when he stepped into that 21-footer where he just buried it. The defender obviously has to give him space. What are you going
to
do? So he gives him space, and Giannis buries it, and he's getting better at the mid-range shot. You could tell that is something that he practices a billion times.
Cool.
Head down, head up, bury. He's shooting 41% from mid-range, up from 35% last year, and that's basically what he's been for his career. So he's just got the confidence of a champ, of a two-time finals MVP. And that's why they are the favorites when it comes to the Eastern Conference playoffs, even though the Celtics are playing really, really well. But I could see why Embiid is pissed off in this game. And if you want to make a crazy MVP case, people like to say, oh, a guy goes to the bench, their team sucks. Well, Embiid's case right there. They win this game probably if he plays like 40, 44 minutes and he matches up those minutes, because they started the fourth quarter up 8. When Embiid came back, they're only up 2. And as he said, Giannis got on an absolute roll and he couldn't be stopped.
What did you think of Harden's game here? Overall, I know the final 3 shots are not great. He missed a 3 on the wing with like 4 minutes to go. Then he like drove into traffic and there was like 4 Bucks around him.
Yeah.
He flung it up at the rim. He was maybe trying to get the foul. He didn't. And then he missed that. He bricked that 3 at the end that led to the Embiid sort of put back from the honest block. But I thought he did have a good first half. I thought him and Embiid looked pretty comfortable out there with the pick and pops and stuff like that.
Yep. Great 3 quarters, to be quite honest. It was nice. I think if you're a 76ers fan, you had to be a little bit encouraged, at least through the first 3 quarters, to see James Harden showing up in obviously a huge game where he has to play well for your team to be competitive. And he was really good through 3 quarters, but a goose egg in the fourth. So, like, what are you going to do? I mean, he scored 3 points, but it wasn't impressive or anything like that. You didn't feel Harden. It was kind of, I mean, I don't know. What are you supposed to do in that situation? I guess the 3 from Harden is probably the shot there, but I don't know. Maxie wasn't doing anything. Tobias Harris was invisible in the fourth quarter. So it just came down to Harden wasn't good enough in the fourth quarter. So to me, it's like, cool 3 quarters, do it in the fourth, much the same as cool regular season, do it in the playoffs.
Oh, exactly. That's the question. Is he gets that green light. If you want it, they'll run that play for him, and he got the 3, but he just missed it. So it's more than just the miss, though. It's more the symbolism of, like, when the other team was coming, they needed someone to respond. James Harden is that guy who should do it. And his body language early on, I thought, was very aggressive. But then he just faded in that fourth quarter. So, you've just got to be a little concerned, I think, if you're a Sixers fan, with that reputation that Harden has in huge games. He tends to go missing.
And just back to the block, which was called the goaltend, which then they look at and go, no, that was definitely a block. I mean, he blocks it before it hits the glass. Do you think there should be a rule change with this? Because they're like, well, it's a jump ball now because no one has possession. Though it had gone out on Milwaukee, like, the Sixers in theory should have had a chance with, I bet, what, one and a half seconds, let's call it 2 seconds, to maybe get a shot in the end that you're obviously trying to score on. But instead they jump it up and, like, you're basically, you have no chance then. Or it's just like luck of the draw, because I think what the refs do in this situation is like, well, let's just call it a goaltend
so we can look at
so
it.
We can look at it and then, like, make sure we get it right. They did. Okay, that's a block, but then it really, really helped out Milwaukee there, because it should have been Philly's ball.
I feel like they could just give Philly the ball after that and no one would bat an eye, even after all of that, because who the hell knows the rules as to who gets the ball on side outs? Who knows? Even at the jump ball, so they go to center court, 1.6 left, jump ball, Harden controls it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then doesn't get a shot off because the buzzer goes off and he complains. He goes, he yells to the referee, the shot, or the clock was not supposed to start until I got the ball.
That's not true.
No, it's not true. He's thinking it's like an inbound.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
He's thinking it's like an inbound where you, as soon as you pick it up. No one knows the rules, is frankly what it comes down to. I think you could honestly give the ball. I think you make a judgment call, and you could give the ball to the Sixers. Well, and I was okay with the goaltend because, number one, we finally saw Giannis block immediately after it happened, unlike in the finals where it took like 5 minutes to watch, to see one of the best blocks in NBA history.
Right.
It took forever for ESPN ABC to replay it. Amazing block. Fantastic stuff. And they got it right. And that's partially the good thing. Honestly, would anyone know what the rule is?
Well, no, I think I would just take it one step further. Like, when they go and look at the goaltend, and it's not, and they see the play developed where the ball goes out on Milwaukee.
Give it to them.
Then I'm sort of with you. It's like, okay, why don't... All right, we're not counting the points, because it was a clean block, but it went out on Milwaukee. Here's a chance for you with about 2 seconds ago, whatever it was. But,
right, because they...
rules are the rules.
Hang on, what did they call that? So they called it, in theory, then they called it for a basket, then, Philadelphia.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They said the game was tied at 118, and then they're like, hold on, that was a block.
You should definitely get the ball back if the call was wrong there. Just one more thing I forgot to bring up. That time in the first half where Niang was on Giannis, and he just flicked him out the way and then jammed it with his left as Embiid came over. I mean, when have we seen a player like that big just have that much sort of flexibility with both sides of his body off the dribble like that? It's just incredible.
But how is that a travel? The 4 dribbles that he took from end to end, which I didn't even bat an eye. I just thought, oh, this is Giannis just doing Giannis things. Nothing, no one in the NBA can do it. How is it a travel when he pushes it ahead?
Yeah, because it's like palming it almost. You're pushing the ball rather than dribbling it. It's a very, very gray area, but I know that that's been...
Hey, I'm doing that tonight at our Pick'em, brother.
If you want the ball, just go get it. If you want the ball...
Yeah, but it's how you sort of stop the possession, right? Because you are sort of controlling it in... Say you're dribbling along, right? Someone comes and you get scared and then you push the ball over.
Which guys do.
Yeah, and then you start dribbling again. That does get called as a double dribble sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Really?
But it's another one of those, like... You're going to be like, if you call that, you're a bit of a bad ref.
people do it in traffic because, you know, they're caught in a double team, pushed through, and it's a cool move. And in this instance, he took 4 dribbles and 2 steps to go 94 feet. But I looked at it and I just thought, whoa. Yeah, Giannis stuff. Because nobody else
that's
does.
That's mainly what it is. It's just like, we don't really know if that's just him or that's against the rules, because it was just an incredible freak of athleticism there. Like, his strides look like they're about 12 feet long. Yeah. They're just unbelievable.
And then he shows up at the post-game press conference to talk to the reporters. Comes with a dad joke book.
I didn't see that.
You didn't see this? He literally comes with dad jokes is the book. It says it on the front. And he delivers another one. You know,
what do you call a cow that's on the floor?
I don't know.
Ground beef.
Yeah.
There's like,
well, go crazy.
No, I would say the reporter's just like crickets. Right. And he's so happy with himself. He's like... Good. Now
nice.
We can start.
I did it. I brought my book. tells you how concerned Giannis was coming into this matchup, and he just went out there and destroyed a team that, you know, people are hyping up, and obviously a big matchup with Embiid. So that was very funny to show up with a prop. The guy has showed up with props multiple times this year, just cruising through, currently second in the league in scoring. His team is second seed. They could easily finish with the first seed in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, he does not seem concerned.
No, but he's making a nice little push here for MVP right at the end of the season. And he should be the MVP.
Basketball Reference has it Jokic 1 still, Giannis 2, and then Embiid quite a distance 3rd.
Ain't nobody taking Jokic or Embiid over Giannis if you're picking the 3 best players.
What about Durant?
Yeah, Durant's the only other guy who's in the conversation for best player in the league, but he is hurt more than Giannis is.
Yeah.
So for me, it's got to be Giannis.
I'm taking Giannis in that situation right now.
Yes. Right. But MVP vote?
Yes.
Yes.
Because he, again, I do think they are going to finish with the number 1 seed as well.
Okay, so you're going to take that.
Yeah. And again, we don't want to live too much as a prisoner of the moment, but a game like that, it's just like, why would you take anybody else over him?
Oh, it's a prisoner of the 4 years to me, honestly. It's like Jokic, Embiid, Giannis, they all have MVP numbers. They've all played an MVP season. One of them is the best player in the league. Mm. So that is kind of the deciding factor for me at this point.
Mm. Yep.
I think it's a good game for the Sixers, though, in a way to show Doc, hey, we got to play Embiid more. I mean, our backups just aren't that good. they just can't stop anyone.
Yeah. Do you think Embiid can play a whole bunch more minutes?
I was going to say, he played 39 minutes.
Yeah. I know.
It's like, what are you asking, 44 in these playoffs?
He's going to have to. You can't play any of their backup big guys, really.
It feels sort of like LeBron Cavs days a little bit towards the end. They gave up a bunch of their depth when they traded Drummond and Seth Curry to get Harden, and they're paying for it now. And also just to get reps between Embiid and Harden. You saw a play just earlier before Harden missed that shot where Embiid tried to give it back to Harden and went out of bounds because the Bucks made a really nice switch to get Brooke off. And they just don't have the reps together. So these reps are good. It's still scary, though. Harden... You know when he's going to have a good game. You watching those skinny ankles, even though those quads are huge, you can see some spryness in those ankles, the legs, right? When he's having a good game, watch those socks. He's bouncy. He looks so different than on several of his games with the Sixers. And then in the fourth quarter, he just doesn't look great. And then just to add on to that, he's 32. What happens next year and the year after that? Once these guys get some reps together, he obviously doesn't look like he did a couple of years ago. So that's the scary part. But anyway, good for them to get reps. And I think this would be a series, but you got to play Embiid more, I think, which is scary.
Great game. Too bad no one saw it unless you had league pass. Well, go watch the highlights on NBA YouTube. Okay, let's keep it going here. Paul George, he returned. He's back. He missed 43 games, but here he is, had an awesome game, and the Clippers rallied in the fourth. They were down huge to beat the depressing Jazz 121-115. What do you want to start with, Paul George or Utah blowing this one?
I should start with Paul George because he did it in 31 minutes and
amazing.
It was incredibly smooth out there. He was looking fresh with a nice haircut out there too, looking great. But really, this is more an indictment on the Jazz and their fragility. And they were up 25 points in the third quarter and lost. And after the game, Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert, to make it even worse, are basically sort of going, this happens all the time. This keeps happening. Yeah. Like, we just don't fight back. I mean, giving it away as well. There's no sort of like, all right, yeah, we blew this one, we'll be better. Instead, it's like, we kind of suck, especially in the clutch. And they did. I mean, and they did. And Tony Jones on the Athletic had it here. The Jazz have lost 14 games this season when they've had a double-digit lead. So we talked yesterday, first half leads don't mean anything. Any lead for the Jazz doesn't mean anything at any point of the game.
That should mean something. When you have a 25-point lead in the third quarter, that's a lead that's real. That's a, you know, it should be at least.
Especially against a team like the Clippers, who you've, you know, they beat you last year. This is that revenge game, motivate, all those sort of buzzwords. And they were doing the right thing. And then as soon as the Clippers put them under pressure, the Jazz just didn't fight back. Mm-hmm. And that's a thing. And again, in that fourth quarter there, Donovan Mitchell, I mean, okay, this is more a mental mistake, calling a timeout when they didn't have one. Yeah. Ended up costing them another point. Again, mm-hmm. at that point, the game was likely over anyway, but it still hurts when your star player can't even remember something basic like that. Mm-hmm. So this really is more about, and reading about it this morning, who would you take the Jazz to beat right now? Let's say they're going to finish in the bottom four.
Right, so they're going to finish fifth, sixth. Yeah.
So they're going to have, you know, the Warriors potentially.
Sure.
The Suns, no, I don't think they'll get them, or the Grizzlies. Warriors or the Mavericks. It's the Warriors just because of the injuries and stuff like that right now. But even still, I think if you're the Warriors,
you don't like the Jazz's chances to get out of the first round.
Not at all. Right. Certainly not against those other three teams, Phoenix, Memphis, and Dallas. Maybe if they get lucky with injuries against the Warriors. But other than that, it feels like this is going to be the end of the road for Snyder, Gobert, and Mitchell together. One of them is gone, I'm sure, at the end of this season, most likely Snyder. This was depressing. Depressing. Watching Paul George, as incredible as he was, looking great, but you're like, this sucks for the Jazz.
Yeah, to me it feels very similar to when the Chris Paul, Blake Griffin Clippers were coming to an end, and you're like, your team is still good, but you've been through like so many heartbreaking losses and coming close and just not living up to the expectations that eventually it just starts to weigh on you, and that's exactly what it feels like for the Jazz. Because like Lee's saying, Donovan Mitchell's saying it's the same shit every year, and it is the same shit every year, because like it was crazy watching Terrence Mann go off against the Jazz again. Mm. Like, didn't you watch the tape of Terrence Mann going off against the Jazz against you last year? Isaiah Hartenstein.
Oh, what a game.
Was torching Rudy Gobert to the point where he took a three-pointer, like, on purpose with 10 seconds left in the shot clock. Clippers got the ball back and scored on that possession. Gobert says nobody wants to get their hands dirty. He's just angry the entire game because he never gets the ball. They're never going to pass him the ball because when he catches it, it takes 100 years to get it to the rim. And then on defense, all of the guards get torched. So then Gobert looks terrible because they're scoring at the basket the whole time. He's just throwing his hands up in anger the entire time. It feels like a team that has gotten stale. And usually I'm willing to give the Jazz the benefit of the doubt because it's like regular season, do whatever you do, because it's the playoffs that are really going to matter. Sure. That's obviously still the case here, but they are crumbling right now.
Yeah, and it's just an extension of last year in the playoffs. As you said, game six against the Clippers there. The Clippers came back from 25, and it's literally the same thing has happened every year. It's not only do they get up double digits and lose, but they get down double digits and can't come back. Like, only the worst teams in the league. The stat was 4-22 in games they trail by double digits. And the only teams that have worse records than that are all lottery teams, according to our man, John Schumann.
Schumann coming through with that stuff.
Yeah, that's a sign of a team that doesn't want to play all that hard and isn't on the same page. So it sure feels like at some point, this thing has to be changed. Now, Paul George was incredible, I think.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he was great, man.
You know, he obviously went into the locker room because his first half wasn't all that great. But he came out of the locker room and looked like Paul George from the beginning of the season. 25 of his 34 points in the last 20 minutes of the game. He had a 20-point third quarter there to bring his team back. He said to his guys, we don't look like a playoff team. And that's when they came back. I'm high on this team because of what they've done in the postseason, because they've been decent without their best players. I feel like they are going to be a tough out no matter who they play. They're, you know, locked into the eighth seed right now. We'll play, you know, likely the Timberwolves in a play-in game, but they are going to be a tough out. This is a team that has success in the playoffs just last year as a conference finalist. Easy to forget that, I think. And then Paul George obviously needs to be there for them to do that, but for his first game to be that good, it doesn't happen very often in the NBA, it feels like.
That could be a really fun, obviously, one-and-done type game. Yep. Between the Wolves and the Clippers.
Oh, yeah.
7-8. I say one and done because whoever would lose that game would get one more chance to get in. But, man, that would be a must-watch television, I feel like, with these teams right now. With Paul George back. Yeah, 34 points, 10 of 20, hit six threes. He attacked Gobert, too.
Yeah.
We had that massive sort of and-one over him where he took the hit and laid it, like, high off the glass. Four steals, six assists. Like, what an incredible game for a guy that hadn't played in months. In a very long time since he's been out there. So, great game from Paul George. And it's always nice to be reminded that his parents' name are Paulette and Paul.
Yeah.
Just push and pee. I love it.
Throw that up on a graphic. I'm going to smile every single time. So thank you.
Yesterday you just called him Paul. Well, Can't do that in the Paul George household.
No. Everybody would look.
What?
Yeah. All right.
Imagine if the Jazz dropped to 7 and they got to play the Clippers in the play-in tournament.
Well, that'd be great.
Wow. It's possible. 5 straight losses for the Jazz. They've got a tough schedule remaining, and they're obviously not on the same page together. Minnesota would be, I would think, have to be a little bit worried about playing a Clippers team with Paul George.
Yeah.
And the Jazz definitely would if they somehow continue to fall.
Next game here, the Mavericks just crushed the Lakers 128-110. LeBron sat. AD is apparently nearing a return. Chris Haynes on the broadcast saying this Friday. They obviously need it because they just got embarrassed here on national television again. I mean, this was over in the blink of an eye.
Yeah, it was a 30-point game right away.
Yeah.
It was over. It's so odd. It's just odd. In this day and age, we have national TV. We have League Pass. We can't figure out which games to put on. I just found it odd. We all knew coming into the night, the Bucks-Sixers game has to be the highlighted game from these early games, but this Dallas-LA game with no LeBron, with no Anthony Davis, is the one highlighted on national TV. Now, I guess it's because you got to send all your production trucks days in advance. You got to send your broadcasting crew, but I think this is something that's going to change the next couple of years. It just doesn't feel modern anymore. The pandemic changed things about people and how they work. I thought that this could be something. You know, people were calling, or the broadcasters were calling games, you know, from studios in their own cities. And obviously that takes away something from the atmosphere. And sometimes the levels aren't good. You don't really hear the crowd and all that. And I'm not saying take the broadcasters out, but we've got to find a way. We've got to find a way to put
the best game on. We can flex.
And just cut your losses. Bring back the broadcasters. Bring back Stan Van Gundy and Brian Anderson. You're not calling the game. You're not staying overnight. We're saving money. You're not staying overnight in a hotel. Just come on back. We got to show the Milwaukee-Philadelphia game. Why? I don't really understand the reason. Now, it's an L.A. market, so maybe. Because it's not the Bucks market or the Sixers market, people are tuning in, but people weren't tuning
in. Trying to sell the product to everybody.
Exactly.
Show us the good game, not this crap one.
Yeah, no.
I mean, Luka,
Show was impressive.
Luka is amazing. Incredible. 34, 12, and 12. Sure. And again, they were just destroying this team. That was cool. But
was it?
At halftime, jump over. Say, hey guys, we're Brian Anderson. See you later. This one's over. We're calling it. And let's take you over to the Sixers on the call here. Do that. Who cares?
I'd rather watch a close basketball game.
Yeah, because this wasn't it, Lee.
No, it wasn't. And I think, you know, obviously money drives all these decisions. So an bad LA team probably still generates more revenue than a Bucks Sixers game. But if I'm the NBA, at some point you step in and say, if we're going to market these young stars, Joel Embiid and Giannis, we have to sacrifice some of the LA dollars. Because honestly, nobody, that game last night doesn't do anything for the game. I don't think seeing the Lakers just get destroyed, as good as Luka was, because it wasn't a challenge. It wasn't like, oh, I can see why Lucas. It was like, what an embarrassment for one of the glamour teams of the NBA. But I know that's not going to change because the Knicks and the Lakers have just the biggest TV market. So that's where the money is.
Well, it may change in the way that people just aren't, you know, subscribed to cable packages anymore. So maybe people just aren't watching TV the same anymore. Because we call these national TV games. Well, the people that we know that watch games aren't tuning into channel 475 on their cable box to watch TNT. I know some are, and
But I think that's different.
We're fans. And if you're trying to attract new fans, then you have to put on freakish athletes like Giannis and Joel Embiid.
Especially when they're the MVPs. I mean, there's two problems. I think big problems are end of games take too long. And the other problem is we don't know when stars are playing ever. So on a TNT game on Tuesday or Thursday, like for instance, the other night, I was wondering whether, you know, Harden was playing on Monday night. Like, when are stars playing? You know, so this is a random game on TNT. You kind of have to be able to just flex. I'm not saying LeBron sat this one out or Anthony Davis sat this one out, but they had nobody in the end.
Yeah.
So,
look, you know,
pull up that bicep.
The LeBron games are always backloaded into the marquee slots here. Tuesday,
for sure.
Thursday nights, the ABC games on Saturday, because it's LeBron. He's a draw. He's on the Lakers, for crying out loud. You didn't think they'd be this bad. I get all that, but what we're just saying is, yeah. Just have the ability to change it.
Because we know he's not
that's
playing.
That's all it is.
Well, now the Lakers are outside of the play-in tournament. They're technically 11th. They're tied with the Spurs, but there's a tiebreaker, so the Spurs have that. And the Lakers' schedule is not easy. They go into Utah Thursday night, which Utah should be, you know, pretty upset
and
after
LeBron
that
is
loss.
LeBron's not playing, I believe, in that one.
Yeah, and Anthony Davis unlikely to play in that one either. They should maybe be back the next night against New Orleans, who is ninth in the so that's a big game, but they kind of have to win that game because then they go Denver at Phoenix at Golden State at home to OKC is another one that should be a W, and then at Denver to finish their season.
Not a lot of dubs there.
No sir.
No matter who's playing with this.
No sir.
Trey, anything to add to the Mavericks' dominating victory here?
No, not very much. I'm a sicko, so I was watching obviously the Bucks and the Sixers. I had the Bulls going as well, so I tuned in just to watch the Luka highlights, and I noticed in one of the highlights that the Lakers had given up 99 points with 8 minutes left in the third. Yeah. I was like, looks like that kind of game. Jovan Buha called this the Lakers' nightmare to drop out of the play-in tournament. I don't know. I think it might be their dream.
Yeah.
I don't think
1-2-3 Cancun going on.
They don't really want to be in the play-in tournament. Like LeBron did it one time last year. Thought maybe we'll be able to pull this off. Coming from the seventh seed, hit the game winner. He saw three baskets. It was a cool shot, but he doesn't want to have to do it again. He hates that thing. So the Lakers have been doing their best to get out of it, and somehow they figured out a way to do it.
And then there's they're not even playing to keep their pick because it's only decided whether they're in the playoffs. It goes to, I always get this backwards. I think if they're in the playoffs, it goes to Memphis, and if they're out of the playoffs, it goes to the Pelicans, or do I have that flip? Anyway, it's those two teams.
Yeah.
It's not theirs, so they're like, doesn't matter. They're not tanking to keep it.
What's the Memphis connection there?
I forget, but I know that's what it is.
Yeah, the Grizzlies get it, I think they get the better pick. Like if it's 11 or something, I don't
could
know
search
at this
for
point.
It, but no
it's going
really
to some. It's going to other teams.
Yes,
yeah,
it's not theirs.
Yeah. The Lakers are incentivized to win here, and they've lost three straight 5 times in 2 months. Mm-hmm. That's impressive.
Yeah. The only thing LeBron is playing for is the scoring title.
And he's already number one.
Yeah, he can.
He's got to play 3 more games.
So he does. I was right. Yeah. I was right. Yeah. 58
is what he has to get to of 82, and then it's legal.
This could be fun at least to see him try to maybe just bank 50 in a couple of these games just to do it, because that's all he's got left for this season, so...
Okay, I mean, look, they are a different team if Anthony Davis plays. We could all agree with that. I know they're not great, but...
Okay. Not a real threat. I don't think so at all.
It's a good point that LeBron was in the play-in tournament last year. They tried it. Didn't work out.
He said it sucked before last year. He's like, I hate this thing. Fire whoever came up with it.
Yeah.
And now he's scraping to get in?
Yeah, he hates
Sad
things.
Stuff.
Yeah, he hates things that are, you know, don't suit him for sure. But he's already tried it and tasted it. Didn't work out. Now Anthony Davis will say, hey, if I was healthy, or he doesn't say, he already said, if I was healthy, we would have beat the Phoenix Suns when we got into the actual playoffs. But he's not going to be right because there's just so few games left. Like, he's not going to be even close to himself, I wouldn't think.
Uh-huh. We just saw Paul George come back ass, maybe.
First game is always the easiest.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Klay Thompson had a great first game. Yeah. Victor Oladipo had a great first game. It's the second game that's the question.
Well, let's keep it going here. Two more games to touch on. We had Durant scoring 41 last night. Sort of gets overlooked with all these other games happening. The Nets rallied past the Pistons 130-123. Cade Cunningham was awesome just for Detroit in the fourth quarter alone there. Was hitting some special shots. He is going to be an incredible player. And just, you know, knock on wood that he stays healthy for a long, long time here. But Durant, pretty spectacular. 14 of 23, 4-6 from deep. You know, hit all of his free throws, 11 boards, 5 assists, 3 blocks. I will say it was nice for some other Nets. You keep talking about this, Tass. Like, other Nets contributed. I say other Nets as in, like, Bruce Brown had a solid game. Nick Claxton, I thought, was pretty solid for them. You know, 11 points, some defense there from him, a little bit of defense at least. Seth Curry hit some timely threes. But they still gave up 123 points to the Detroit Pistons. They're going to have to find some sort of defensive identity here to, like, go far and to actually really contend for a title. Like, they got outscored in fast break points. They got dominated on the glass. Pistons did work in the paint. Like, they're like content. Like, oh, we'll just outscore you.
Yep.
And they did last night. But that's not going to work in some of these playoff matchups as you move on. It's just not going to work. You got to play defense.
Yeah, and it didn't work against the Hornets the other day, who were a better team. You know, they were able to keep on scoring. But I will say one thing about Dwayne Casey's Pistons. They have not at all let go of the rope.
No?
They have been competing every single game here. They punched the Hawks a week ago. Other than that, they lose by a couple of baskets. This one's 7 points. But I think the Nets were looking at this going, hey, what's going on? I thought this was going to be a fairly comfortable win here. Instead, it took that Durant 41 points against a team that's obviously not going to make the playoffs at all. So credit to Dwayne Casey there. But yes, the Nets, they do have a bit of a concern defensively, I think.
Anything, Dad?
Well, the Brooklyn Nets just don't care about the regular season. And it sort of just adds on to my idea. The league has an issue with the regular season, I think, and just the value of these games when guys are just sitting out. Kevin Durant was asked after the game, what do you guys have to work on here these last few games before the postseason? He said, quote, to be honest, we just want to be healthy. We all understand what playoff basketball is about. They just don't care. Mm-hmm. They really do not care. He knows that when he's the number one guy, everybody else sort of falls in line, as he said, but when Kyrie Irving came back and the guys started to get healthy, everyone goes more into the roles that they should be in, that they belong in for a championship team. And they shot 55% from the floor and 54% from three. They know their offense is good enough, and they think they can turn it on defensively. And
show me how many teams in NBA history have ranked in the lower third of defensive rating to, like, go all the way and win it. There are a handful, I know, but that is really difficult to do.
Like, yeah,
I know you can turn it on, you know, really lock in, but you have to have defensive players too. And it's like, it's so easy to say. It's another thing to actually do for four series.
Totally.
Yeah.
I guess because this team
too.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. On the road. Because this team was the one seed in the middle of January, they think, you know, we can get back to that level, and they do have games. It is a real Jekyll and Hyde. One game it's there, one game it isn't. But, you know, if you followed Kevin Durant's words, he just says, all right, we'll do it in a couple of weeks. Like, we just don't care. I mean, he cares enough to get the feel and get the flow. And offensively, they feel great. And great handshakes with Cade after the game. I respect nice. You. Yeah. You respect me.
He already did that for Scottie Barnes. KD showed his respect for him. And he's doing it for Cade.
That was nice.
Yeah, it was awesome. He played great. It was one of his best games amazing. Of his very young career. Trey, what do you think about this Nets? Can they do this thing without really playing any defense and they don't care?
Yeah, they can. It was the same story last year. You know, they were 22nd in defense last year, didn't care once again, and they still took the Bucks to seven games, held the Bucks under 90 points twice in that series. Yeah. So, you know, they don't have to tune in on defense seven games in a series, I don't think. They can try and win one offensively, because obviously KD is good enough to win games offensively, and Kyrie is himself as well. So they are going to have to play more defense, but I think that, like, Kevin Durant is kind of the epitome of turning it on when it really matters. That guy can be, like, a defensive player of the year caliber sort of defender, but he just doesn't do it most of the time. He will do it in the playoffs. They're going to have problems with teams crushing him inside just because they always do. You're not sure what you're getting from their role players. Like, it's awesome that Bruce Brown has been playing well lately, but he also didn't play for the first 3 months of the season or whatever. You know, Blake Griffin had a great run in the playoffs last year. He hasn't been around LaMarcus Aldridge, sometimes here, sometimes there. So I think Steve Nash has a lot of questions to answer. But I think they can flip the switch enough to still be a competitive team come playoff time, because KD's just, he's awesome, man.
Oh,
like, when he's going, nobody can stop him.
No, he was hitting some insane shots. Yeah. Like, I mean, he was hitting shots that you can't do anything. The league is in such an incredible place right now, because we're talking about Jokic for MVP, or is it Giannis, or is it Embiid? And then there's, like, oh, there's Durant. Mm-hmm. Of course there's still LeBron. Luka going for 32, 12, and 12. Like, it's like, it just keeps going on. You got the Suns players. You got Tatum. Mm-hmm. It's, like, amazing guys that are, like, if you're making a list right now, you're putting at 7th, 8th, or whatever. It's like, these are elite players. Like, in other years, they're top three easily and stuff like that. It's amazing the talent right now.
Yeah, when you think of some of the MVP races we've had, it's kind of been Steph, James Harden, Russell Westbrook almost running away with it the whole season.
Right.
But now there has been, and when it was going around the internet the other day, like there's probably eight guys who have been the favorite to win MVP at some point this season. And that's great. That is great for the league. Get these guys on TV more.
It's true. Well, you can buy. Can't you buy, I don't know if you can still do this, like, could you buy the Sixers-Bucks game on League Pass last night?
I think so,
$4.99 or something?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you can buy the sort of last
Does
10
anybody do that? I've never heard of anybody do it. But it's an option.
What about a good night for it last night? Like, imagine you turn on TNT, you're like, oh my goodness, what is going on? Then they pop up a little ad. Hey, tune into the Bucks for $1.99. I would have clicked instantly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe somebody did. Let us know in the stream team if it was you last night.
Yeah. Sometimes I think I'm going to go rent a movie. And the only option is to buy it because you can't rent it for another 3 weeks or whatever. So a $20 movie purchase, I'll do it.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I got no choice.
Once you've made the decision to watch, you're like, whatever it costs.
Exactly. So $7 for a night of entertainment?
Yeah.
Worth it. I think it's $6.99.
I thought it was $5.99 for some reason.
Okay.
But I think
that's
it might.
Too much, actually.
Yeah.
I'll say that's too much for us.
But it might go down as the game goes on, like you're saying. Like, it might $5.99 start, catch the tip, but then second half, you know, maybe it's $3.99, fourth quarter, maybe $1.99, you know. Flex pricing.
Yeah, were they like second half of Lakers Mavs? Are they offering to pay you to keep watching? They're like, we got ads coming up here. We'll give you $1 if you stick around.
Yeah,
okay.
So you can see
free pair of sacks.
Okay, what do you got?
You can choose one team, free trial for 7 days, then $13.99.
Oh, that's to follow the team for the whole season. I'm talking one game lately. You keep looking. Let's get Trey's thoughts on the Bulls getting into the fifth place by themselves here, 107-94 win over the Wizards. Quick notes here.
Oh, thank you to my beautiful Bulls, because if they lost this one, I was thinking about becoming a Wizards fan.
Oh, wow.
I've been a Wizard magnet on the Top Shot stream, Skeets. Mm-hmm. They got these new pink jerseys, and if they took down the Bulls last night, I was like, gonna have to pull a Jack Koga out here and suddenly root for the Wizards. But a classic DeRozan fourth quarter win is really what this was for the Bulls. He scored 14 of his 32 in the fourth. 6 of 7 shooting. It was all mid-range, sort of half spins, and then take a 15 to 17 footer. Sometimes it rattled in, and sometimes it was a pure swish. Also, shout out to my guy, Big Vucci.
Yeah.
Huge game. 27 points. 12 of 19 shooting. Did he take a shot in the fourth quarter? Of course not, but that's fine. Because if there's anybody that's not going to out-physical Vooch, it's Kristaps Porzingis. So. I got caught saluting the Bulls flag yesterday during the day. Laura said, did you just salute our flag? I was like, yeah, I do it every day. Did it again this morning. I got to show respect when they actually take care of business.
Nice. Do you do it, like, do you salute the flag just like as you walk by? Do you stand, hat off, you know?
I should respectfully take off my cap, but usually, you know, I park outside, I walk out, see it.
You should rig up like a speaker to play like the Alan Parsons project.
Every time I leave the garage. I actually love that. I'll record a video of the next salute. They take care of, they actually get a win.
Okay.
Because the one after the Knicks game, tears in my eyes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
We need Laura to set up a camera so we see you every day. Like that
salutes.
Yeah, like the student who set up a camera of his teacher coming in every day. Hello. Get you saluting, crying, get see all the fits.
I like that idea. Yeah. Let's make that happen. JD, if you don't mind, throw up just the playoff picture. We've been doing this every day here for all the stream teamers, just so you get an idea of what we're looking at here in both conferences. Because the Bulls, I said, they are in fifth. They would be playing Philly, which, TK, before the show here, you were saying, not a matchup that you love going against. I guess the
they got to beat him beat at some point.
Well, yeah.
They have to at some point in his career. Maybe 4 times in the playoffs? We'll see.
Is it safe to say the Bulls would prefer to avoid a Sixers or a Bucks, though, and maybe they would take anybody else? Not that they would win, but like...
Yes, I would say those are the top two most fearsome competitors for the Bulls because Embiid and Giannis, the Bulls have no chance of matching up with.
Right. And you see the rest of the stuff here, the play-in tournament. It is Hornets-Hawks, 9-10 right now. Cleveland Nets in the 7-8. And in the West, it is Pelicans-Spurs. There they are. No Lakers, which looks crazy, in the 9-10. And then you got Minnesota-Clippers, which, not a lock yet because Minnesota's still trying to get out, but the Nuggets are doing their best to, like, hold them at bay. So could be Minnesota versus the Clips in the 7-8. All right, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, let's hit the beach and answer a few of your questions. Don't go anywhere.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the... Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, yeah, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/nodunks.
All right, back with the boys here in the Classic Factory. Let's hit the beach to answer a few of your questions. Yeah, a little beach stepping. Keep sending them in. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com. Tweet them in at NoDunksInc. That's INC. Or drop them in the YouTube comments. First one. Lee, listen up, man.
Okay.
You're going to love this one. It's from Sam.
Okay. Hey, Sam.
Is it Geelong?
Geelong. Yes.
Geelong, Australia.
That's right.
Sam, here he comes. Hi, No Dunkaroos. Longtime listener, first time emailer. We love to see it. I find the various ways voters determine their MVP odd. Seems like it's more about narrative than performance. With such a long season, it's easy to forget a tear someone went on early or a lengthy cold spell. My question is, why doesn't the NBA use a system similar to what they use in the Australian Football League? I think you've brought this up before.
I have.
Votes are given to players each game by the umpires. 3 votes for best player, 2 votes for the second best, and 1 vote for the third best, right? The votes are then counted at the end of the year at an award ceremony with the leading vote getter winning. In the NBA, it wouldn't necessarily have to be the umpires or the refs. It could be the media doing this. In any case, I feel this would be a better way of determining who had truly completed the season from start to finish. That's from Sam again in Australia. What do you think? I mean, I guess you love this idea because you have brought it up before.
All Australian rules football fans love this idea because this is huge throughout the season. So just to reiterate what happens here, right? So in a game, there's 3 umpires, okay?
Yep.
And after each game, they huddle together and they write down, this guy got 3 votes, 2 votes, 1 vote, and then that is confidential. It's like
it's not released I'm a little more intrigued by this.
Yeah,
okay.
And so then at the end of the season, we have what's called the Brownlow Medal. It's the award, and they read out the votes. at that award.
So up until then, you have an idea because you've seen the games, like, that guy played well, maybe he got votes, but you don't know for sure. There's no running tally. Okay,
And again, sometimes it could be, let's say a guy kicks 10 goals, but his team loses. He might get one vote or two votes, but he might not get three votes if his team loses by a lot of points.
Okay.
So it's all, you know, speculative. Now, there's also sometimes, like it is with media, there's biases from umpires. If there's a player who talks a lot of trash... In the past, we've seen some of the best players haven't won it because they grind the umpires all the time. And also, if you get suspended at any point during the season, you are ineligible to win it.
Mr. Temper Boy, watch out.
Because in theory, it's called the Best and Fairest Award. Now, there has been times where a guy has won the award with the most votes, but he couldn't get the trophy because the medallion because he was ineligible. So
also, it just goes to the person in second.
Yeah, and the person in second is kind of like, oh, great, I guess I won. Oh, but he didn't. Yeah,
it's fairer than you are.
Yeah, and that's been the debate
fairest
over years.
Of
where
them
it's,
all.
It's like, you know, you should be able to win it even if you are suspended. But anyway.
Yeah.
So I do. I absolutely love this idea because it does take some of the recency bias out when you do the awards at the end of the season for the NBA voters because we talk about all the time, this guy's, Devin Booker's having a surge right now. You know, that's really going to help his narrative. And I think if you do it immediately after the game, I think it does just sort of take some of the ability to sort of think about and look back at it. And maybe there's some emotion in the game that helps that player in particular, but I don't mind the idea of then having it like accumulate over the season.
Okay, how many games do they play in an AFL season?
So I think they play now, they have 24 rounds, I think, but they have two byes, so they only play 22 games.
Significantly less than an NBA season.
Significantly less, and there's only, you know, in the NBA, 16 players maybe in a game, there's 44 players in a thing, so you've got, the bigger field there to choose from.
Yeah.
But I do just think that this is a good way of doing it, so then early on in the season, if a guy was playing well and maybe gets injured... You know, that doesn't count against him where we go up. He's playing fine early in the season, but then you forget about him. So I love it. It wouldn't happen because imagine having to read out every single vote from every single game. There's like 1,300 games in a season. And the commissioner,
that's true. That's a lot of games.
The commissioner of the AFL, he actually reads out every single vote. So
every single vote?
Every single vote. And it has come down to literally the last game sometimes where it's like, you know, one player has been called.
Is there like a public reading of the tallies?
That's what he's saying.
Well, this is like the award show.
But I mean, that's the award show. Yeah, the guy reading the votes live? Wow.
And it's really evolved over the years where now they have like, expected to vote, expected to poll votes in this game because the guy had a great game and all this. It's massive. It's massive. But there was one time, in fact, 1992, where there was a guy who you thought was going to win it, last game of the season, he needed three votes to win it. He was down by two, kicked 145 goals that season, Jason Dunstall. And the commissioner goes, and three votes, Hawthorne, Jay Taylor. And he missed out. And everyone's like, oh, my God, he should have won it. So it was dramatic, dramatic. The boss, Ross Oakley, legend. But it's great. We Australian fools, I said the same thing. Australian rules football lovers, absolutely. Absolutely love this system because then we incorporate it into daily life as well. Like if someone had a really big night at the nightclub or we got the three votes last night.
So we would do it for the podcast.
Of course.
Like
yeah, we do all that. So I like it. I do like it. I don't know exactly who you would, how you'll do it if you would necessarily have only the umpires. Maybe there's like a one referee in the stands who does it for the game. So because
just send Zach Lowe to every game.
Have Zach Lowe. Maybe have Zach Lowe just watch every game and he does it. So
okay, so we know he likes it, but what do you think of this whole thing in reading this email from Sam and talking it out? You like this idea of like tallying sort of every game is what we're getting at here.
The three star. I don't mind three stars of every game.
Hey, it's like hockey.
Yeah,
it happens. Basically, is actually. Yeah.
The three stars. I don't even know who actually makes the decision for a hockey game.
I got no clue.
Because because they do it right then and there, unlike the AFL. The three stars come out.
Who does
star it? Number three, Ray Bourque. And, you know, he says hello to the crowd. Yeah. Star number two, Chris Pronger.
Do they still do this, by the way?
They do the skate.
They still do this?
I'm pretty sure. I think so. Right. I mean, they only do it
not
for...
every game?
No, okay.
Yeah, I think it is,
not
isn't it?
Every game of NHL hockey. No. Like Saturday night, only hockey night in Canada games on Saturday
so
night.
I think Don Cherry
like
votes on
two
it.
Games a week.
I remember
like
seeing
the
it
national, in, not every game.
At Madison Square Garden, I remember seeing
they might,
the Sharks
man.
And the...
No.
and the Rangers, because I remember it, because the guy came out and skated around.
Yeah.
Brett Hervey, I think his name was. I still remember. Yeah.
It's not just Hockey Night in Canada. And media representatives from the home team make the selections.
There you go.
Wow.
So, but do they skate then every game? Is that?
I don't know.
I have a feeling they award it every game, but it maybe is not the thing where they're all coming out on the ice every game. That's my
I can't believe
my gut
I
says,
can't
but I haven't watched a hockey
it.
Game in a while. All right.
I used to shot list hockey,
man,
like for seasons. I'd just sit there. Paul Ranheim, off the post.
You could have been doing the votes for hockey.
13:44 left in the second period. Theron Fleury gets run over. Good reacts from the crowd. You know, that kind of stuff. I can't believe they do it for
I was supposed
game.
To go to the Flames Oilers and it got canceled.
Oh,
yeah.
That would have been great.
Ah, man.
They just had a crazy game I saw. It was Did like they? 7-5, 9-5 or something like that. A lot of goals.
It was between the pipes.
I can't believe hockey is happening.
It was between the pipes. Yeah, I think it was Bill Ranford and Mike Vernon, I think. Anytime we can name old goalies, you know we're going to.
Oh, John Van Beesbrugge?
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Good. Thought I'd contribute to the hockey conversation there.
He's now Dominic Hasek.
Number 39.
So, what do you think, Trey? Is this a dumb idea or maybe something?
Yeah, it's dumb, but it's a good idea.
Right.
It's dumb, but also good. It was like, I thought the Brownlow Medal was a little confusing at first, but then having Lee explain it, the fact that like they actually have an award ceremony where a guy's just reading votes in an envelope, pretty funny. This should at least be some sort of award. I'm looking at the Wikipedia page here for the 3 stars in hockey. Apparently, they do tally up these 3-star points, and the Molson Cup is awarded to the top point earner of the year of each Canadian team.
What?
So I don't know. There's definitely a way to work in another sort of award here for, like, season-long performance. I love the idea of giving an actual medal.
Yeah.
It's all trophies like in the NBA. Maybe you throw on a ring if you win a championship, but a medal would be cool, so... Sounds weird, but why not give away some sort of an award? I don't love the idea of the referees voting on it. I feel like they are pretty busy to be noticing who's actually
They're
playing
also
well
good
out there.
At their first goal.
Yeah, let's focus on nailing the first part of it, and then you can get your votes in. Yeah. But yeah, sure.
The media.
Pick one super fan in each arena that chooses. I don't know. It's got to be something. That's an interesting idea.
It's a bit like the green jacket at the Masters too. The winner of the year before.
No, that's
awards
cool.
the next
on.
Guy
oh,
too
they
yeah.
Do that.
yeah
so I will say in reading this email I thought that this was something like okay the game happens
yes.
the AFL game and then soon after the umpire's votes come out so I was like so this is like a running tally which I'm like that's sort of boring because then it's like you know who's gonna win the award because you just see it after every week but I didn't realize it was secretive that opens up a whole Pandora's box of like conspiracy and like goose in the votes and stuff
there's definitely been some of the best players ever haven't won it and a part of it I think is because the anti-bias almost like well we always know that guy's good but this guy played better on this day but this happens on the Monday night before the grand final. So, you know, that whole week, it's a whole big build-up. It's a great week. It's the best week to be in Melbourne.
Yeah, I like the fact that it's not revealed that night, as you said.
Yeah,
it makes it more intriguing.
Yeah.
But as Trey said, I just don't want a calculation for the most valuable player. But in hockey, they have the Hart Trophy, which is the most valuable player, and then they have the...
They have tons of awards in hockey.
Yeah, but then I had Art Ross, which is the guy who's tallied the most points. I think it's just points. Anyways, so it's more of a calculation-based awards.
Right.
I think that could make sense. But I don't think NBA fans would ever respect it enough.
Uh-uh.
I think they just want to argue. That's the problem. That's what it takes away. It's the debate, the conversation, the power of persuasion. That's what we want at the end of the season. I think, anyway. So I don't think it would go away.
They have, like, the Players Award as well. I think the NBA does that too, don't they? Where they have, like...
They did for a little bit.
Players vote for the MVP,
Because then there's that, admiration amongst the players. Like, you know, we all know who the best players are and stuff like that. So I think there could be something where the referees get some say from the media and then some from within the players and get a cumulative thing. A bit like the All-Star voting without the fan part.
All right. Well, great email, Sam.
Yeah.
Guys talking about, what was the cool guy you said that was like part of the controversy in 92? Boss the Ross?
Oh, Ross Oakley, yeah.
Oh, Ross Oakley.
Ross Oakley, yeah. He was the commissioner who kind of, like David Stern, he turned it from like, we used to watch, right?
Oh, he was the commissioner?
Yeah.
Oh.
He read out all the votes.
He was the player.
No. And so I remember we used to watch on Sunday afternoons the second teams play. That's how bad AFL TV was in the 80s. It was like the reserves, it used to be called. So it was like, you're just watching guys out there who aren't even in the first team playing. And now every single game is on TV. Like, they've really, you know, professionalized the league. But the boss was the first one to really
move the
league.
Was he always wearing shades, Oakley?
No. He had a great big bushy moustache. He was a legend.
Legend, dude. You're a legend,
I can't believe
Ross.
I'm talking about Ross Oakley on an NBA podcast. Yeah.
All right, Tass, let's go.
All right, a couple more emails here. Hey, guys. I've been a fan of No Dunks since the very beginning in the TBJ days. I've followed you through your various iterations and don't think it's an exaggeration to say you guys have been a significant part of my life in a way words can't describe, which is why it pains me to admit that I've started skipping episodes with you guys for the first time.
What?
And that's because I can't stand Survivor. I've tried that show many times. I watched the first few seasons, I dipped back in a couple times because you guys spoke so highly of it, and even watched the entire previous season, and I hate it. It's just not my thing. And I don't think it ever will be. I know you guys like it, and it means a lot to you, and I like hearing the joy in your voices, but it's not for me. And I even got so unnecessarily annoyed a No Buffs episode popped into my No Dunks feed, it made me stop listening to No Dunks altogether for a couple of days.
Wow.
My rage was that.
JD, you really blew it, putting it in the wrong feed.
Get this guy a Temper Boy shirt.
Yeah.
My rage was that of Lee being forced to do something before eating breakfast, irrational and untamable. My question on the back of this is, what is something someone you know does or likes that drives you up the wall when it doesn't impact you in the slightest? Turnips, hungry eyes, blossom. That's from Sod. Great email, Sod.
Wow. So he was upset that a No Buffs was in the No Dunks feed.
Yeah.
And protested.
He's really tried to watch No Buffs, or I'm sorry, to watch Survivor.
Yeah. Has he? Oh.
He's like a clockwork orangey it, forcing himself to watch.
Okay, well, to answer the question, it is a bit of a weird answer, but our friend Jared, he loves the Impractical Jokers. Like, a lot. To the point I was doing, like, a fun Photoshop for his birthday. I put him as one of the Impractical Jokers. Looked great. Some of my best Photoshop work to date.
Man. Nice.
I should get a photo. But, you know, not a fan of the show. I don't care all that much for it. But, you know, he loves it. He wants to go on the cruise that they do and stuff. Like, he has every episode ever on his DVR. And, like, rewatches it. That's the crazy part. Like, I'm like, you know what's going to go on. You know the prank. You know who wins or whatever. The sort of fake winning. So, you know, it's his thing. I watch a lot of dumb television as well. Some people say Survivor. His is Impractical Jokers, and it's just... I can't get into it. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
No, well, I know what it is.
You know what it is, yeah.
Yeah, no.
It's a good airport watch. I saw it on the airport. It's good just to peek up at the television and see.
I think it's a classic just have it on type thing. I feel
it's
like that's
a time-killing classic where you're like, I don't have to think about it. I'll just enjoy it.
Sure.
Yeah.
So that's my answer. What do you got?
I got a neighbor. Nice guy. When we see each other, there's...
But,
you know,
time to crush him!
You know, it's like... Very casual, easy conversation. He's got the most immaculate front lawn, front yard. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Puts a ton
he
of
does
work.
It or
no, he does it all. Yeah, oh, he does it all. Fairness. I always see him out there raking, blowing, you know, digging, scraping away. Looks great.
Right.
But when I say I always see him out there, I mean I always see him. There are times it's fine, man. It's fine. You don't need to be.
There's always a weed, Lee. There's always a weed.
I've seen him sometimes literally looks like he is just picking grass out of the grass. He's probably not, but it looks like. And I'm just like, it's so immaculate, you just can leave it for a couple of days. You can't. It's beautiful. He's a nice guy.
Meanwhile,
I like
you're messing with your mint.
Mint's it's back. It's back.
So do you think you would ever say something to him?
Like, no, I can't because we're friends, you know? We're like, hey, how you doing? Great. It's looking great, by the way.
So you do say that.
Yeah, I say that, of course.
That's why he does it, for sure.
I'm probably like, it may be a bit of a giveaway that I'm always saying, it looks great, okay? It looks great.
Never looked better. It will never look better.
right. Yeah. Yeah, mine's similar. I hate it when Frank puts his tarp on my fence. It's my fence, Frank.
Ooh.
But, you know, Jack had told... No, it's not.
Oh.
No, it's not. It's my fence.
My fence! What do you mean? Hold on.
Well, the fence belongs to my property. Jack put it up. He let Frank put his tarp on it. Jack's gone. Trey's in. Frank's still putting the tarp on. I don't know.
He's grandfathered in on the tarp.
Wow. Frank has been grandfathered in, but my sump pump shoots out into his yard, so I think it's I think it's fair.
Oh.
It's all fair. It's all fair. It's to Frank and the tarp.
Cool. You got an answer for this, Tess?
Well, it's sort of like Lee's answer. I've got a wife, but her half of the closet. Now, it doesn't bother me whatsoever. I mean, it doesn't affect me, I should say, yeah. But it bothers the heck out of me. It's just not neat.
Ooh,
it could be a lot neater. It's sort of like JD complains about, you know, strewn socks around the house.
Yes.
Yeah, Danielle just keeps stuff around. But it's not clothing that's, you know, just hanging around. It's dirty clothing that's on a chair or whatever. It's boxes or packaging. Get it out of there. And I'm the garbage man in the house, so right. I'm gonna eventually be the one. She's like, no,
I might have to return it, stuff like that.
Yeah, she's gonna take it out. She even has a garbage in the closet, like a garbage container or whatever. Just get it out.
So you share like a walk-in closet. Yeah. So you're on one side and she's on the other. Is that how, or are you a corner and she's
well? We have a closet. We share a closet.
Yeah,
and her half. It's not immaculate. Mm. It should be. It's like mine.
You run a neighbor over.
Yeah. We got what? I got your friend.
He's a neighbor.
Oh, yeah.
pick it up, right? No problem.
Yeah. Grass man.
Final one. How diddly ho, no Dunkarinos. First off, I am not a college basketball fan. But I was watching the tournament off and on, and I couldn't help but notice the Wedgie's influence. For some reason, people have become infatuated with cheerleaders getting the ball down after it's gotten stuck on top of the backboard. It's mind-blowing. So this leads to the question, WTF do we call this madness? It needs a name. Now, I am leaning towards clock block. Since it is in close proximity to the shot clock. Anyways, just seeing if the promoters of the glorious Wedgie have any other suggestions. Thanks, and always love the show. That's from Banana Bro Brad.
Mm.
And we've seen this twice, I think, right, Trey? Where
yeah.
I know it really popped off when the first cheerleader did it, I think in that Indiana game or something like that.
Yep.
And that's happened since.
And the cheerleading squad was like, we're on it.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go get it. Yeah. We're getting the ball. If that thing gets stuck up there, we got a plan. It worked out. You want to be first, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Way more buzz for the first rescue there.
Oh, I think they made Breaking Tea t-shirts for it.
It was
cheerleader
awesome.
Saves the day. I think you can buy on
Breaking Tea. That was an incredible moment. That technically, it's a pigeon, though, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Sitting up there. I do like the name Clock Block, though.
It's pretty good.
Especially when it's right there by the actual clock. I would also consider the ballpark. As you know, 79% of men think about their balls every day. It goes up to 100% once you mention the stat. So I like to call this the ballpark because 100% of people notice it when the ball is parked up there.
Right, right.
So it goes along with the clock block as well. But it is technically a pigeon. But you can have different names for different things. Some people call Papa Soda.
Right. You know? Yeah. Do you have any suggestions or thoughts on this email from Banana Bro Brad and this ball being up on the pigeon being way high?
No, not really. Talking about just cheerleaders, you know, with March Madness and that, and I think it happened down at the fortress we were last at. I think that's the last time I saw it. Nothing gives me greater anxiety than seeing them when they fling the girls up so high and they're like smiling or they're flipping and the guys have got to catch them. Oh my God.
You should watch the Netflix series Cheer.
Oh, yeah.
It's about competitive cheerleading.
Yeah,
but I mean, the stuff they do, they fall. They drop them.
They must.
Nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they go so high when you see it in person. They must go up 35 feet. I'm not exaggerating.
Very high. 35 feet. That's
I mean, I know they practice, but they have to.
Maybe.
smile and look comfortable, and they're trusting so many people to make sure they nail exactly where you're landing there. So that's my only contribution, really.
That's
here.
A bit of a ballpark pouch when they catch them when they drop.
I suppose that's true.
Okay, so that's your just thoughts on cheerleading.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Right. Well, it definitely started to become a thing because, yeah, as you said, the second cheerleaders were ready to go like that. And then in the Elite Eight, Ian Eagle was on the call for the St. Peter's game, and the ball almost stalled, and he commented about the cheerleaders doing it in the first two times, and he just wished it happened. Now, Ian Eagle, he knows what a wedgie is. He always calls the wedgie. He's a great wedgie caller. I think he called the potential one a stally up there.
Hello.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, you know, whatever. Ours is better. And so the pigeon's better. But I understand. A ledgy is when it's on the back of the rim.
Almost never happens.
Almost very rare. Yep. Even more rare than a pigeon. It's true. I'm just so surprised that it still gets stalled on the back of backboards. And that you can't, even more so that you can't get it down without a human. You know, like that you could be able to use a stick. But there's a lot, I guess NCAA baskets are, there's a lot more gear back there.
There's a lot up there.
There's a lot of bars.
I will say it has been nice during March Madness. I only know this because people have tweeted at us, but like Bill Raftery, who's like a legend, you know, in the broadcast booth, especially when it comes to college basketball, he used to call a wedgie a neck ball. He was one of those, you know, older generations that would never call it a wedgie. And I think he's on record this run where it happened in a game he was on and he called it a wedgie. So no longer a neck ball, which I'm happy to see.
I was waiting for a wedgie to happen when Ian Eagle and Jim Spanarkle were on the call, because Spanarkle, notorious neck ball man.
Yeah, right.
We'll see about that.
No, it's a wedgie.
Oh, that's going to be a controversy.
All right. So,
oh, boy.
Send in your questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. Tweet them in at nodunksinc, INC on the end, or drop them in the YouTube comments. We're going to take one more break. When we come back, JD's got tweet of the night. We've got the pick 'em results. We got such a battle going on in March's pick 'em, and we'll make tonight's very important pick right after this break. All right, we're back in town here. Town being the Classic Factory. Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Well, we go to our guy, JD.
Yes.
With Tweet of the Night. What do you got for us, man?
Well, New Jersey alert. Ooh. Do we ever get jerseys at this time of the year? I mean, I feel like this is sort of out of the blue.
Yeah.
But it is spring, and the cherry blossoms are a-bloomin'. And the Washington Wizards have unveiled these new Bloom City jerseys. Or uniforms, I should say. I'm a fan. I'm a big fan of these.
These are awesome.
They look great.
Look at that. Sweet. They got, like, these great... The cherry blossoms are just cascading down the side of these jerseys and shorts, and I don't normally like a gradient on a short, but I like this. This is really cool, and I love this. The eye is a cherry blossom. It's just great, and also the Nationals are involved in this too. City in Bloom, Bloom City. Is this new? This is new, right? I've never heard Bloom City before.
Bloom City. For Washington? Yeah. I mean, I knew they had the cherry blossoms. I've never heard it called Bloom City, but maybe it is, yeah.
I love it. I think it's the best new campaign since We the North, if I'm being honest.
Ooh.
And I actually like the Nationals are even better.
Really?
I love these. Look at the detail here.
I like the detail. I do love the pink on the Wizards ones, but man, I hadn't seen it up close like that. That was awesome. The details on the back.
And like, it's just, I'd wear this. And I'm not a baseball fan. I'm certainly not a Washington fan. But
yeah, it looks more like a shirt to me rather than a baseball jersey. I love them as well. I do. I think they got screwed on the color palette though. I'd rather have the Wizards, which are amazing. And the gray. When you zoom out, you don't notice all the detail. Yeah. But anyway, they did all right. Doolittle, Corbin, and other guy.
Doolittle, Corbin, and Gray. The Nationals stars.
But yeah, the tandem baseball and basketball. You don't see that.
Well, I was going to say, I'm just going to speak to the timing like you were saying, JD. Like, when are they ever releasing new NBA jerseys here in late March, early April? But that's because of the cherry blossoms.
Yes. Yeah.
That's when they're blooming. So they're like, all right, let's go. Also, were those a gift from the Japanese?
They were.
Correct?
Yeah. 1912.
Because since Rui's been there, they've got a pretty big presence, I think, Washington.
Yeah,
I remember Scott Brooks was like the second most popular NBA figure in Japan there.
Yeah, you're right.
So I guess that is the connection. Cherry blossoms and Japan.
Oh, yeah, they used to call it Brooks City. Shout out to Giannis. He would have liked that.
Yeah, you needed a book.
He would have laughed. Yeah. He would have laughed at that. All right.
Can't buy him until...
Until October, I think.
Really?
Oh, those are for next season.
For the jersey. Yeah,
they weren't wearing them against the Bulls last
night. No, they are
they had
for
a
next
lot of cherry
season.
Blossoms.
I thought you could buy them already, but no.
No, it's quite the tease. I guess the Nats are going to be wearing them immediately.
Yes.
Right.
But, yeah, those are going to sell. For sure.
How do you feel about WSH for Washington? As the
instead
the
of
little,
WIS.
Yeah.
I suppose.
I mean, I still get angry with Charlotte. I'm like, in half the places it's CHA, the other places it's CHO.
Hmm. What about PHO and PHS?
Yeah, that one too, man.
That's a weird one.
Yeah, come on. What are we doing?
Yeah.
Sticking off. Find the lane.
Is the top on the Wizards a gradient too? Sorry to go back.
Looks solid.
Looks solid.
Solid.
It's a beautiful jersey.
And you call it pink, Trey. Is it pink? I guess it's pink.
Yeah, nice. I mean, Rose. I guess we haven't really seen them in person yet.
Hold on. That's definitely pink.
Yeah.
Am I crazy or that's definitely pink?
There was a leak of like every city jersey that came out and it just looked like the Wizards was going to be washed out red for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. But these look like legit pink.
Yeah.
Probably not quite as pink as the Heat when they had their pink jerseys, but pink, you know, like the cherry blossom.
Let's hear from the stream team. Guys, fans of these, let us know in the comment section below the vid. Or are you maybe one of the rare people? Because I feel like most people are into these lately.
They're very pretty.
That's a nice word
cherry
for
blossoms
it.
Cherry are pretty.
Oh, gorgeous.
Yeah. They're blooming here in Georgia.
I was going to say, and they're drive-in here. There's some in the neighborhood.
They seem to not stick around for too long, though. Like, we've got some neighbors who's like, they bloom, and then boom, they're gone.
Yeah. That's the thing. They're fleeting. Mm, you gotta catch them.
Yeah.
Or they're gone. Yep. You get, like, a couple of days.
Yeah, and they're all over the ground, and then that's it. They have to wait until next March.
That's right. Pick 'em results from last night. It was the Bucks-Sixers game that hopefully you paid $5.99 for to watch on League Pass. Philly was favorite by 1.5. This brought to you by BetMGM, that line. We had Lee and I taking Philly. I mean, wow, a couple shots here or there, and maybe we pull it out, but the Bucks get it done. They obviously hit the money line, so Tass and Trey got it right. We are so close here. Trey, that's a big one for him. He's almost in the clear at this point. Not technically, but close. 12-9. Tass improves to 11-10. Lee and I fall to 10-11. Two nights left in March. Big game tonight. So where
absolutely
are we going?
Absolutely. Big night in the NBA as well. 11 games. We're going to one that has implications for the Hornets as they visit the Knicks. Knicks, 2.5-point underdogs at home.
Oh, God. Here we go again.
Yeah, it's a tough line. That's tough. Charlotte
game
has dropped to 9th in the Eastern Conference standings. They want to get up to 8th. They want to jump Brooklyn again. At least get closer tonight if they can beat the Knicks in New York, which is not an easy place to play right now. You can say that about the Knicks.
Bing,
so that's why Lee and myself are on the Knicks to cover 2.5 points. Skeets and Trey taking the Hornets. And I like that Lee and Skeets have, at the bottom so far, at this point, have chosen opposite teams here.
So this is huge. Mm. Yeah, because who knows what happened. Task could be sort of tied to this at the bottom if the Knicks can't cover, but we will find out. Yeah, are the Knicks going to start their season with a bing bong and end with a bing bong? Bing to start, bong to end? It's possible. So big game there. Charlotte, 2.5-point favorites in Madison Square Garden. Let's call it there. Email in your NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, @NoDunksInc. Get yourself an athletic subscription. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks. Dollar a month deal still on for up to 6 months. Take advantage of that. And go to nodunks.com to get your new Mr. Temperboy t-shirts. And I just found out from Breaking Tea themselves, we got Mr. Temperboy mugs. I think these are live on the website. Go to nodunks.com if you want to get one of those. That's a nice mug, Lily.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Fun little angry guy there. Like the little No Dunks script under Mr. Temperboy. So go to nodunks.com.
Can we get some Mr. Temper girls out there?
I mean, absolutely could.
You know? Sure, some fans out there, our female fans.
I guess
also.
Would you do Miss Temper Girl?
Well, they did that, didn't they?
In, with those books? Yeah. Yeah. Is that right?
Mr. Men and yeah, I think so.
Oh, okay. We'll have to look at
that. Gotta go Ms. now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Guys, we'll see you back here tomorrow from the Classic Factory live at 10 a.m. Eastern to recap a lot of the games on tonight, any of the big NBA news. Till then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, tell me if I'm right here. Did Six on Blossom, you remember Six, her friend? Yeah. Blossom's friend. Yeah. Did she used to call Blossom Cherry Blossom? Sweet little Cherry Blossom.
I don't remember.
I don't remember that coming up, but I don't have a encyclopedic memory of every episode of Blossom. Just, you know, the first couple seasons.
Yeah, we'll look into it.
Cool.
Brace the day, people.